Let me ask you to turn with us, please, in your copy of God's Word to the book of St. John, chapter number 1. John chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 35 through verse 42. John, the Gospel, chapter 1, verse 35 through verse 42. And as I mentioned this morning as we were ready to leave, I'm going to share a message about God's plan for every single child of His. God's plan for every single child of His. You find this recorded here, and I'll bring out some thoughts about this as we look at the Scriptures in depth. John 1, 35. Again the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou, or where do you abide? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. You know, God has many plans for all of us. And many times, a lot of His plans in our lives are centered around the abilities that God's given us, or the talent that God has bestowed upon us, our personalities, and our work ethic, and a lot of things in our life. God gives different plans for different people because of people's makeup. So we all have different kinds of plans for our life that God has for us. It always disturbs me when I hear someone say, Well, preacher, I don't believe God has a plan for my life. Oh, yes, He does. If God didn't have a plan for your life, why would you be here? Why would He just save you and take you on to heaven if He had no reason for you to have a plan in your life, or that He had a plan in your life for you? So we do. We all have different plans God has for us individually that's tailor-made to suit us. But there's one plan that God has for every one of His children. I mean, every single one of us has this plan. God's planned this for your life and for my life just as well. We find it here in this drama that's played out here in these verses that I read. We find this here in the life of Andrew and John. Now, God in these verses gives us His plan for reaching the whole lost world for Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see that with me. There's probably four things that stand out in my memory here as I looked at this passage, four things that I believe is in God's plan for every one of us, as you see it here in the life of Andrew and, of course, John, his cohort, you might say, or his contemporary. Now, God wants to reproduce the same things in our lives that He did here in Andrew's life. And I want you to see this with me. Four things that really stand out, God's plan for your life and for my life, just as it was here in the life of Andrew and John. First of all, it's God's plan that every single one of us find the Lamb and follow Him. Verse 36, And looking upon Jesus as He walked, He saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard Him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now I'm speaking about Andrew, of course, and John. Part of God's ultimate plan was that John the Baptist would come on the scene, as we know, and he would point people's hearts and lives to the coming Messiah. And John was a tremendous preacher, and he began to be real popular in the Jordan Valley area, and many people came to hear John preach, and John preached repentance, and many people repented of their sins. They believed and trusted the Lord Jesus, and they were baptized. But John just preached repentance of your sin. But notice in John's life, he always made an emphasis to say this, He, Jesus, must increase and I must decrease. John was never appointed by God. The plan of God was never in John's life to just gather disciples around him. The focal point in all of our lives is that we find the Lamb of God and that we follow him, that he increases and we decrease along the way. Now, Andrew and John were what we'd call today commercial fishermen. They were from the city of Capernaum. They were just businessmen, commercial fishermen. And when John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God," Andrew and John were John the Baptist's followers, but when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God," they left John and went and followed Jesus. That is God's plan for all of us, isn't it? Amen. To find the Lamb of God and to ultimately follow him. That's a first and foremost part of God's plan for every single one of us. Now, it's to trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's the actual beginning of the Christian life. It's to put your faith and your trust in the Lamb of God, who is none other, of course, than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the beginning of God's plan for every one of our lives, is to find the Lamb and follow him. Now, that's just a beginning. That's where the Christian life begins, as you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, as we know Andrew and John here did. Now, second thing, notice. Once you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you have to face a decision. Look at verse 38 here. "Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? They saith unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest there?" Well, where dwellest thou? When Jesus realized that there were two men, Andrew and John, following after him, Jesus turned to them and he asked them, "What are you seeking? What do you seek?" Now, why did people follow Jesus when he walked here on the earth? What were they seeking when they followed Jesus? There would be a number of reasons, a number of expressions you could give as to why people followed Jesus. Many people just followed Jesus because of all the blessings of bread and things that he broke and blessed and fed people. They followed him for the meals that you see Jesus bless and produce. Other people followed Jesus because they wanted to see the miracles that Jesus performed and wanted to see those miracles firsthand. Others followed Jesus out of just simple curiosity as to who he might be, what he was going to do, where he was going to go. Other people followed Jesus because they were sincerely interested in Jesus' teaching and wanting to know where he's coming from and what's going on with the teaching in his own life. So there were many reasons why other people followed Jesus: to just criticize him and to find fault with him and to try to trap him in some measure of the law of Moses, just to trick and trap Jesus up. Well, other people just followed Jesus because they just wanted to be a part of a crowd. And then there were others, like Andrew and John, who were in the crowd probably, but they stepped forward out of the crowd and they identified themselves as true followers of Jesus Christ. And they gave themselves to him and followed him. So there's a lot of all kind of various reasons why people followed Jesus in his life and he walked here in the flesh. But I want you to notice something. With all the crowds of people, Jesus didn't save people in mass. Never did. Jesus always saved people on a one-on-one basis. And there you find this true in the life here of Andrew and, of course, John. When John the Baptist pointed them to Jesus, they left following him and followed Jesus. And now here they are affronted by Jesus, and he asks them, "What do you seek? What do you want? What's your ideas?" Well, I'm not so sure sometimes that maybe Andrew and John really didn't understand what they might have wanted. They were just really intrigued with Jesus. Well, sometimes people follow Jesus with sometimes the right actions, but the right actions can be defiled by wrong motives. But Andrew and John had the right actions to follow the Lamb, find the Lamb, and then they faced the decision, what are they going to do about him? Well, of course, you know what they did. They accepted him as their own Lord and Savior. Well, Andrew and John found the Lamb. They began to follow him. Listen, Every single one of us, this passage comes right on down through the centuries to your life and mine. Concerning the Lamb of God, the decision you have to make in your own life is, are you going to follow Him? Have you made that decision in your life to follow Him? If you have, well and good. If you have not, now's the time to do it. Today's the day. So there's a decision to be made. It comes right on down to you and I this day and this age. Now, a third thing I want you to see. In a plan of God for all of our lives, it's to first of all find the Lamb and follow Him. It's in to face that decision of giving your heart and life to the Lord Jesus. And then a third thing involved in God's plan for every single one of us is to obey His commands. Verse 38 again. Jesus said, "What seek you?" They said to Him, "Rabbi, where dwellest thou?" Perhaps they honestly didn't know what they were seeking. Maybe that's why they returned a question to Jesus Christ. They said, "Rabbi, where do you dwell?" There was a story told, and it's a true story, by the way, of a young Jewish student who was being tutored or mentored by a rabbi. And he got kind of perturbed about his rabbi, and he said, "Rabbi, why is it every time I ask you a question, you reply to me with another question?" And the rabbi said, "Why shouldn't I?" This is sort of where Jesus was here with Andrew and John, wasn't it? They said, "Master, where do you dwell?" Jesus said, "What are you seeking? Where do you dwell? Where do you live?" It's possible, probably, that, you know, Jesus was so busy in His life here on this earth, He never had time to hardly stop and do anything. He's always on the go doing things. It's possible that they might have had enough, I guess you'd say, courtesy to understand how busy Jesus really was. And they were willing to maybe meet with Jesus at another time. "Master, where do you dwell? Where do you abide?" I think they would have been willing to have met with Jesus at some other time that might have been more convenient for the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, Jesus wasn't interested in meeting Andrew and John later. He was interested in meeting John and Andrew right now. Jesus' word is always now. Always now's a day. Today is a day. Always on the lips of Jesus you find the word now. Come now. Give your heart to Him now. Well, Jesus didn't want to speak to them later, but they did spend some time with Him, as the Scriptures point out here. Now's a day. Now's a plan. Now's a time for anybody to give their heart and life to the Lord Jesus. Jesus was always saying things like this: "Come. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." He always was saying, "Come and drink. Come and dine. Come and take the water of life freely." They said, "Master, where do you dwell? Where do you abide?" Well, let me ask you today, where does Jesus abide today? Where does He dwell today? Now, we know the Bible teaches us that He does not dwell in temples made by man's hands. The most high and holy place that our Lord Jesus wants to dwell is in the very hearts of His believers. Our bodies are the temple of the Spirit of God. He wants to live in our heart, our life. Jesus wants to dwell in the person who has a broken heart, a contrite spirit. And He always revives that broken heart and He revives that contrite spirit of those people who are humble and who will accept Him. I'm sure that there's no way Peter and John could have ever understood at this point how in the world, what in the world Jesus was going to do with them and through them from this point forward in their life. Now, if you stop and think about it, in your own life, go back as far as you need to, probably from the day you gave your heart to Jesus. Think back in your life and look at your own life, and from then until now, and the things that the Lord Jesus has done for you and through you to be a blessing to others, you have to say, "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus Christ the Nazarene." Amen? Amen. I could have never known what God might want to do with me and through me when He called me to save me. You couldn't have known that. Andrew and John could not have known either, except they just gave their heart to the Lord and they went back to their fishing. Until a time later when Jesus came and Jesus said, "Now men, leave your nets. Come and follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men." Now you know that these four men came to be Andrew and Peter and James and John. Now we know that Andrew went immediately and found his brother. Couldn't we just assume, and don't you believe it'd be correct in saying that John also went and found James, his brother, and invited him to Jesus too, because the four of them were called later to be fishers of men. So obeying his command, there's no limit to what Jesus can do with you, through you, for you, if we'll just learn to obey his commands. I'm talking about God's plan now for your life. It's to find the Lamb and follow him, to face that decision, giving your life to him, then obeying his commands in your life. Now, if you don't think it's amazing, just look at the lives of the 12 apostles. What he did through those men. Most of those men were just common fishermen. Nobody out of the ordinary. But look what he did through the apostles. But now there's a fourth thing in the plan of Jesus for your life. Yes, it's to find the Lamb. Yes, it's to face the decision to give your heart and life to him. Yes, it's to obey his command. But I want you to see in this passage, a fourth and final thing is to share the good news. What did Andrew do just as soon as he met the Messiah? The Bible says, if you just look at it, go back up there and look at it. If you look at verse 40, let's start there. "And one of the two which heard John speaking followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ." The first thing Andrew did when he found the Messiah, he had to go share the good news with Simon, his brother. The good news that he had heard, he had found the Messiah, that was too good a news to keep to himself. He must share it with all those he came into contact with. So where did he begin? He went right straight home and found his brother. He felt compelled to tell others about what Jesus had done for him and who Jesus was. Don't you say that we need to understand that when Jesus has done something in my heart and life so great as save my soul, then you've got to tell somebody, don't you? You ought to feel compelled to tell somebody. Well, Andrew quickly felt compelled. He went and found his brother Simon and brought him to Jesus. Listen, everywhere you see Andrew, he was always bringing somebody to Jesus. A little lad with a few loaves and a few fishes he brought to Jesus. Others had come to Philippi and they asked, "Where's Jesus?" Who's the one who stepped up and pointed them to Jesus? Andrew. He started off telling his brother. He went on and on. As far as the reports in the Word of God that we have on Andrew's life, everywhere he went, everything he was involved in, he was telling somebody about Jesus. Well, I say I believe John did the same thing, because Jesus came back a little later and he called the four of them, Andrew and Peter and James and John. And he called them then to be fishers of men. I want to ask you something. Where's the first place you are to share the good news when you've received the good news and you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Where do you begin? At home. Well, now, wait a minute, preacher. Now, you don't know my family. Oh, yes, I don't have to know your family. I got a family, too. You're supposed to begin in your family. Now, where do I get my information from that? Well, just go over and read the story of the Gadarene demoniac. You remember the man who was in the tombs, always cutting himself and crying and, you know, screaming, and he was almost out of his mind, and they tried to, you know, bind him, and he'd break fetters and all kinds of things. And when he met Jesus, he sat at the feet of Jesus, the Bible says, clothed and in his right mind. And when Jesus started to leave the coast of Gadara, that man said, "Jesus, I'm going to go with you. All you've done for me, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to serve you." And Jesus said, no. What I want you to do is to go home and tell your family, tell your household, tell your wife if you got one, or children if you have them, tell your brothers, tell your sisters, tell your family members, he said, the good things that the Lord has done for you. I realize sometimes our families are some of the most difficult people in the world to try to tell about Jesus. They know too much about us, don't they? And we know too much about them, don't we? It's difficult, but nonetheless, Andrew went straight to his brother, and he witnessed to him and brought him to Jesus, and he said, Simon, you've got to come. You've got to see. We found the Messiah, the one we've always heard about, the one we knew who was going to come. We found him, Simon. Come, and let me introduce you to him. And of course, Simon came, and Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonah, I'm going to change your name to Peter, Cephas, which means a stone. Here's my focal point of the whole message. Has the Lord done anything for you? Now just think about it. Has the Lord saved you? If He has, have you told anybody lately about it? Have you ever told anybody your testimony of what the Lord has done for you? Have you told anybody lately? Now's the time to tell it. If you've never told it, don't let it go another day. Tell somebody what the Lord has done for you. Always share the good news. You don't have to be a Bible student, a college or seminary graduate. You don't have to be a preacher or a theologian or some kind of teacher or professor somewhere. Just tell people what the Lord Jesus has done for you. Now's the time. Today is a day. Tell somebody about Jesus. That's God's plan for us. That's the way God reached me. Somebody told me. That's the plan of God for every one of us, is to, four things, find the Lamb, follow Him, face the decision, give your heart and life to Him, obey His commands, and then share Him with somebody else. That's not difficult. That's not hard to do. But that's the plan of God. If you ever wonder about, well, what's God got in store for me? What does God want me to do? It's exactly what He wants you to do, just exactly like it was with Andrew. And of course, John and Simon, Peter and James. So, God does have a plan, doesn't He, for your life. The same plan He has for you, He has for me. The same plan He had for Andrew, He's got for all of us today. All kinds of things God wants to do with your life and mine. All He's looking for is availability. You let Him take care of the ability. Amen.